In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 to chapter 3, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 to chapter 3, verse 3. You see here the Holy Spirit mentioning three types of, we'd say, believers in one sense. In chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, I could not speak to you as to spiritual men. That's one type of Christian, a spiritual Christian. They're very rare. Paul says to the Corinthians, he doesn't say you're not born again. No, they're born again, okay. They love Jesus. But he says they're not spiritual. And he says, because of that, I can't speak to you like I speak to spiritual men. With certain other Christians who are spiritual, I can speak as I speak to spiritual men. But to you, chapter 2, verse 2, I only know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, some people think that's a great thing to say, I don't know anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But remember, that is for those who are not spiritual. For those who are not spiritual, you say, in your midst, I determine not to know anything except Christ died for your sins and your sins are all forgiven and on your way to heaven. That's not something to boast about, that I determine to know nothing except Christ and Him crucified. He says, but we do speak wisdom, chapter 2, verse 6, among those who are mature. When we go to mature people, we don't just speak about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We go on to other things, how you are crucified with Christ, which is a deeper truth than Christ being crucified for us. So he says, I can't speak to you as unto spiritual men. So that's one category. That's the highest, spiritual men. The lowest category is chapter 3, verse 1. Men of flesh, or as the King James says, carnal men. So there are carnal Christians. He says, you Corinthian Christians, you're born again, okay, but you're not spiritual, you're carnal. Now, between carnal means men of flesh, that means they live according to the lusts of their body. Now, these are Christians. They've accepted the Lord, but they are constantly defeated by sins of the flesh. And they live in an endless cycle of getting angry, lusting after women, watching pornography, and repenting and asking God to forgive them, and again getting angry, and again lusting after women, and again watching pornography, again asking God to forgive them, and the occasional cheating in their offices, and they ask God to forgive them. It's an endless cycle. You know, the Bible speaks in Hebrews 12 of a besetting sin. The besetting sin is different for each person. You know what your besetting sin is. But if it's an endless cycle, and if it's a sin of the flesh, you keep on doing it, and then you ask God to forgive you. And the devil has convinced you that this is how life is going to be till you die. And like a fool, you believe the devil. That's not true. It's because you haven't understood the full riches of God's grace. You haven't understood what your Father in heaven has written in His will for you. This cheating devil has robbed you of your inheritance, of a major portion of your inheritance. He allowed you to get a little bit of that inheritance. It's like a billionaire father who's left a huge inheritance in a will for his children, or say one child if you're the only child, with bank accounts here and there in different places and property here and there. And some cheating lawyer robs you of most of it and gives you 10% of it, and you live on $10,000 a year when your father was a billionaire. I don't think any of you would allow a cheating lawyer to do that for you. You know why? Because when it comes to money, we are all sharp. But we allow the devil to do that to us in spiritual things because we don't value spiritual riches as much as money. Would any of you allow a cheating lawyer to rob you of your billionaire father's inheritance which he's written to you? No. Why do you allow the devil to cheat you of the inheritance that God has given? By the way, his will is written here in this book. Would you read it carefully? Would you read your billionaire father's will carefully to see which all banks has he put his money? Where all is their property? Carefully read it again and again and again and again. I don't want to miss out one of those banks where my dad's put money for me. I don't want to miss one of those properties that's now my inheritance. Why don't we read the scriptures like that? I'll tell you why. Jesus said there are only two gods, God and money. And it's because most people do not worship the true God that they are cheated of their inheritance because money is more important for them. So this is carnal people and there's spiritual people, and in between there's another category which many people don't recognize. It's called soulish. There's a spiritual Christian, there's a soulish Christian, and a carnal Christian. Now the soulish Christian doesn't look so dirty and living in obvious sin like the carnal Christian, so he himself thinks he's spiritual, but he's not spiritual. The word here used in chapter 2 verse 14, the natural man, is a Greek word which could properly be translated as soulish. It's from the word psyche, which we use in English. It's a soulish man cannot accept the things of the Holy Spirit. They are foolishness to him because he lives in his mind. He's not the carnal person who does dirty things. He's very upright in many of these external things, but he lives in his mind. He's an intellectual Christian. And he's soulish. He doesn't overcome inward sins of the Spirit. So this is what I want to share with you about today. So I want to show you a few screens up there. Can we go to the next one? First Thessalonians 5:23. This is the clearest verse in the Bible which says that man is made of three parts: spirit, soul, and body. That's the order. It's not body, soul, and spirit. Spirit, soul, and body. The one who's governed by his spirit is a spiritual Christian. The one who's governed by his soul primarily is a soulish Christian. And the one who's governed by his bodily desires is a carnal Christian. So these are the three categories of Christians. See, when God is a Trinity, three separate persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and God made man in his image, also a Trinity, not as three persons, but as having three parts. And if you don't understand that, you won't be able to know fully what it is to be a spiritual Christian. You can overcome a lot of sins of the flesh and get a good testimony in church, but you will never be a spiritual Christian if you don't understand the difference between being spirit, soulish, and spiritual. Okay, the next one. Hebrews 4:12. Here we read in Hebrews 4:12. I think I've got those things here, all those PowerPoints. Yeah, Hebrews 4:12. The word of God pierces as far as the division of soul and spirit. So there's a division of soul and spirit. Soul and spirit are not one. The word of God, if you value it, will divide and show you what is soulish and what is spiritual. And not just the written word, but the Holy Spirit taking that word and showing it to us. That's why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See, this is just printer's ink and paper. You can read this and believe that Jesus is Beelzebul. But when the Holy Spirit takes this and speaks it to your heart, then it becomes alive. There are multitudes of people. Why is it there are so many hundreds of denominations in Christianity, all holding the same book and saying, we've got the truth? It's not a different book. They've got the same book and they say, we've got the truth. There are people who take this book and believe in child baptism. How is that? And there are others who believe in believers baptism, who are after they are born again. There are people who believe, read this book and say speaking in tongues is of the devil. And there are others who go to the other extreme and say that's the only sign of being filled with the Spirit. All with the same book. You see how easy it is to be deceived. If you live in your intellect and seek to understand the Bible with your intellect, you can get hundreds of denominations and all holding the same Bible. It's very, very important to distinguish between a spiritual Christian and a soulish Christian. I think a spiritual Christian and a carnal Christian who lives according to the flesh, you'll easily be able to distinguish. A person who's living with the sins of the flesh in your church, you'll never think he's spiritual. But you can very easily be deceived by a soulish Christian, a soulish preacher, You can easily be deceived, thinking he's a spiritual person, and you keep following him, you'll be soulish yourself. That's the danger.